Hello, friends. This is the Out of This World radio program with your host, Ted Marr, broadcasting from the studios of KKNW in Bellevue, Washington on 1150 AM. The program focuses on out-of-this-world information, including psychic phenomena, metaphysics, and predictions for the coming years in Seattle, the United States, and beyond. We will have only the best psychics, astrologers, and others in the world on our program, and I guarantee it'll be the most interesting radio program you've ever listened to, as you will hear information here that you will simply not hear elsewhere. I'm pleased to tell you that we are the fastest-growing psychic and metaphysical radio program in the world, and we have now listeners in nearly 40 different countries and all the world's continents. I want to say a big hello to our new friends and listeners in Seattle and across the United States and across Canada and in the United Kingdom, Ireland, Italy, Norway, Croatia, Greece, Russia, Armenia, the Ukraine, Israel, New Zealand, Australia, Turkey, Kenya, South Africa, Austria, Switzerland, Germany, France, Brazil, Argentina, Paraguay, Chile, Venezuela, Colombia, Malaysia, Thailand, the Philippines, Dubai, Jordan, Syria, Iraq, Saudi Arabia, Pakistan, Indonesia, India, and Japan. And if I've left anyone else, I'm sorry. Before we start, I'd like to ask all of my listeners, both here in the United States and abroad, and to send good thoughts and good wishes and prayers to my friend Susan Miller in New York. She's been ill, as well as Dr. Stanley Monteith, and to Candy Sanders' husband, who's been ill, and to Carol, my friend and web designer, who's had a cold. I also like to ask for prayers to be sent to Skip's wife. He's a follower on Twitter, and his wife's been very ill. So if you could send some prayers to them, that would be great. Before we begin, I'd like to urge all of my listeners to tune in to Sarah Hartman's wonderful show from noon to one, and Sarah Weissman's wonderful show from 1 to 2 here on KKNW. Both are wonderful spiritual shows which come on before my show. Today we have a split show that I guarantee will be really interesting and out of this world. For the first hour, from 2 to 3 p.m., we will have New York Times bestselling author Pam Grout talking about the positive values of being spiritual and anything else you'd like to discuss. And the show should be a really wonderful, uplifting experience for all who listen. For the second hour, from 3 to 4 p.m., we're very fortunate to have famous Nostradamus scholar, Mr. John Hogue. John defines himself as a Rhodes scholar. He's a world-renowned authority on Nostradamus and other prophetic traditions, and he's accurately predicted the winner of every presidential election for the last 44 years, so it'll be interesting to get his viewpoint today on the next election. For those of you who'd like to call in and ask questions of either Pam or John, we will be taking calls from 2:30 p.m. to 3 p.m. Pacific Standard Time for Pam, or 3:30 p.m. to 4 p.m. for John. The telephone number to call in the studio is area code 425-373-5527, and if you're calling outside of the United States, I believe the country code for the U.S. is 001. If you're within Western Washington in the Seattle area, we have a toll-free number at 1-888-298-5569. Finally, before we begin, I'd like to thank the many sponsors of this show, without whose help this program would not have been possible, including my dear friend Carol, who's been designing my website, providing moral support, and without whose friendship and help this program would not have been possible, my dear friend Ann Nelson, business professor at Walla Walla College, my dear friend Heidi in Switzerland, who's been helping to arrange a radio appearance by Eric von Doniken and other wonderful psychics, my angelic and earthly family, as well as my wonderful sound engineer Taylor Jacobs today, and my station manager Eric Crema, without whose help and support this program would not have been possible. Quickly, I wanted to tell you about our upcoming shows, and we'll go on to our interview with Pam. Because of the July 4th holiday in the United States, it's Independence Day, we will not be broadcasting a week from today, but we will be back on the air on Friday, July 11th with a very special guest, Susan Liberty Hall, who will talk about how she rid herself of breast cancer by just laughing. Seriously. Cancer, of course, is no laughing matter, but her interview should be really interesting. Along in the program for that day will be also Deborah Spellfox, one of the best numerologists and love and relationship counselors on the U.S. West Coast. In July, famous New York psychic Catherine Mitchell and two representatives of the Galactic Federation of Planets will come on the program, along with Abby Lind, who is one of Europe's best spiritual energy healers from Dublin, Ireland. Then in August, Jennifer O'Neill, a famous Hawaiian psychic, will be on the program along with Susan Chomsky, live from New York City, as well as famous remote viewer and psychic Uri Geller from London, England, Scott Lemriel from Hollywood, Tamara Younger on relationships, Lee Moorhead, one of the best psychics on the East Coast, and Laurie Berman, a wonderful psychic from Boston who has her own radio and television program, who will be coming on the program at the end of August. Sometime later this summer, when he returns from South America, I've been told Eric Von Daniken will also be coming on the program. For more information about these guests, please see our website at www.outofthisworld1150.com. You can listen to the show live today if you're in Western Washington, of course, on 1150 AM on KKNW. You can also go to the internet at www.1150kknw.com. And after the show, you can always listen to the show afterwards by going to our website at www.outofthisworld1150.com by going to the bottom of the page and clicking either on Pam's name, Pam Grout, or John Ho. For those of you who are in the Seattle area, I will be at the Northwest Psychic Fair on Saturday, July 12th from 10 a.m. to 5 p.m. doing readings. Then on July 19th, I will have another psychic session on 116th Street in Kirkland, Washington. Admission is free, and I'll be giving out free sage. For information about these events, please call 1-888-879-8339 or email me at outofthisworld1150@gmail.com. On Saturday, July 26th, from 10 a.m. to 5 p.m., I'll also be giving out psychic readings at the Boeing Employees Parapsychology Club in the Kent Commons in Kent, Washington. Finally, on November 22nd, from November 22nd this year to November 24th, I will be hosting a psychic fair rejuvenation workshop on Whidbey Island in Puget Sound at the Fort Worden Conference Center in Port Townsend, Washington. The fair will include over a dozen different psychics from across the Northwest, as well as some famous psychics. And for more information, please call me at 1-888-879-8339, or feel free to email me anytime at outofthisworld1150@gmail.com. And I think I've talked enough now. Pam, welcome to the program.
Hey, thanks. You are a good talker. I didn't quite even catch every word. You're a good talker. Glad to be here. Thank you.
My pleasure. Well, it's the fault of drinking too much coffee in the morning, and now I'm winding down after my several gallons.
Somebody told me once that a coffee was the Holy Spirit's delivery system. So hey, you're in good company.
Well, fantastic. Well, I have to, my listeners in the United States and Canada and around the world, I have to tell you that Pam's a wonderful, positive person, and I listened to you a couple of months ago on Coast to Coast, and after listening to you in the middle of your interview, I said, I really want you on my program, because, life's kind of, it's hard for a lot of people out there in the world nowadays, and it's nice to get some positiveness to look on the bright side of things, instead of, for example, looking at a glass of water as being half empty, look at it as half full, and I think humanity has always had, challenges ahead of us, but it's nice to have a guest on like you who looks at the positive side of things.
Well, I really believe that to look at life any other way than positive is really a way to negate your own power. Because when we look at life as problems and, identifying problems, the kind of seven steps to fix them and all that kind of stuff, I think we actually lose the power that we have. So not only is it kind of a nice people, some people say, oh, yeah, just sugarcoating everything. It's not true. It's actually the most powerful way you can be connected to all the energy of the world. And, being anything but positive is crazy. In fact, if you really looked inside your body and saw what negativity does to your body, if we had little x-ray cameras and could look in there, we would all quit immediately thinking all the negative stuff and talking the negative stuff that we do.
Oh, I couldn't agree with you more, Pam. Do you know a Japanese doctor named Dr. Matsumoto Emoto?
Yeah, I wrote about him in my book, actually, yeah.
Oh, fantastic. Well, I want to get a hold of him and invite him on the program. And could you explain to our listeners, you probably know more about him than I do, but I have heard of his wonderful work with water and the power of the mind and intention.
Right, and he's even done a new experiment, or at least more recent than the water experiment, where he does something with jars of rice, and I know a lot of people have done some experiments with that, where you look at one jar of rice, you keep it, and you tell it how you don't like it, and you know, it's awful, and, you know, you don't nourish me, and just any negative thing you can think of to talk about to Rice. I mean, Rice is pretty normal. It's like, wow, why do you feel bad about Rice? But anyway, so you do that to one of the jars of Rice, and then the other jar of Rice, you say kind things to, you bless it. And the results of these two jars of Rice that came from the exact same bag is really startlingly different. The other experiment that you're probably talking about, and he had several books about this, and this is what I talked about in my book, E Squared, is he did a lot of experiments with water crystals. And so what he did is he froze all these different samples of water, and then he would, you know, some of them had, you know, would have like monks praying over them or sending a positive intention. Some of the water samples he would play, you know, really jarring rock music to. And then he took pictures of the resulting frozen crystals, and it was just amazing. In fact, he'd show crystals that, you know, originally had been from polluted water, you know, they'd come from some dam with all kinds of pesticides and different kinds of chemicals, and it was really icky. And then he'd have people pray over it or set the intention, you know, with the positive thoughts, and it would just turn into this most beautiful crystal. And, you know, I think that's what's so cool about it, is being able to see it with your own two eyes. Like, you know, we've kind of known this philosophy for a while, you know, positive thinking, blah, blah, blah. Unless we actually test it out and we actually see it and use it in our own life, we don't even realize, you know, how it works. So I think it's really cool what that scientist, that Japanese scientist, has done. So I'm a big fan of his. So glad you mentioned him.
Incredible, incredible. You know, when I was a kid, I used to do a lot of trout fishing with my dad. And sometimes we'd meet people at the boat launch who were just down. You know, they say, oh, we're going to go out, but, you know, it's a lousy day. Weather's terrible. I don't think we're going to get anything. And I would argue with them. I'd say, well, I think we will. I think we will. It's got to have a good attitude. So my dad and I would go out and get a bunch of trout. We come back to the dock. And these guys would be coming back in, too. And guess who didn't get any fish? They didn't. Because their attitude was completely wrong. And it's funny, but your attitude really does matter quite a bit.
Oh, I love that story. You know, I'm always blogging about cool stories about different things people think and, you know, the results of how they were thinking. But don't be surprised if I do a little blog post about that story, because I love that. And it's so true, and it happens over and over again. You know, we animate in life, you know, whatever we put our focus on, you know, so we're really connected, you know, in this big field of energy to every single thing in the world. I mean, we're connected to all of it, but what shows up in our life is whatever we put our attention upon. I mean, we literally animate whatever we're thinking about. So if we're thinking about, oh, the fish aren't biting, it's terrible weather conditions, then we're going to animate that particular reality. If we, like you, think, wow, this is a great day, I'm going to have so much fun fishing, all that kind of stuff, and you'll come back, you know, with a freezer or whatever, however you store, you know, full of fish. It makes all the difference in the world. And it's not just some little airy-fairy kind of light thing. This is a powerful, positive thing, and everybody needs to know about this and use this in their life.
Well, absolutely, and I want to lead in. You know, this has triggered something else very interesting. Do you know Patricia Corey, the emissary, and her string of books that she's written, Atlantis Rising, and about the whales and dolphins?
But it sounds fabulous. I can't wait to read about it. But no, I'm not familiar with that so far.
Okay. Well, when we're done later, I'll give you a call or send you an email about all her works. But she was on my program a week ago. And she started. She's written a string of wonderful books on novels on basically having to do with whales and dolphins. And she's also saving them, basically protecting them. She's also started a new group called Save the World's Oceans, which is helping to preserve, you know, whales, dolphins, and not only those, but also to keep the ocean clean and keep the pollution out. Well, I don't know if you realize this or not, but the U.S. Navy has instituted a new program, which was given approval in April, just a few months ago, by the Obama administration, to exterminate 12 million whales and dolphins across the world. And they consider whales and dolphins to be expendable collateral damage from their new sonar system that literally explodes the brains of these beautiful creatures. And the Natural Resources Defense Council right now is suing them in U.S. District Court in Honolulu, Hawaii. If you're interested in that particular case, please go to www.saveourbiogems.com or contact the Natural Resources Defense Council in New York City, and they can give you some more information. But the reason I wanted to mention that is that the power of positive thought and everyone listening worldwide, if we could all send positive thoughts so that these whales and dolphins could be protected from the Navy, I think this would really help them out. It's worth a try. I do applaud the efforts of the NRDC in suing the Navy to try to get some sense into them. I mean, I can't believe it. I mean, who gave them the authority to practically eliminate these two beautiful species from our planet? I don't know. It's beyond me, but I think that these poor, beautiful creatures do need our help. And we were on the air discussing that a week ago. But are you there, Pam?
I'm here. I don't know what
okay.
that noise was. Sorry about that.
Okay. All right. But leading into your discussion about being positive, I think that, frankly, you look at the conflict in the Middle East, all the problems there, the conflict in Iraq. I think there's a lot to be said for sending thoughts of light and love to these people, to the people in Iraq. They seem to be constantly in battle and war, and that goes true for a lot of conflicts around the planet. I don't want to sound too airy-fairy, but I think that the power of positive thought really does have a beneficial effect on things.
Right, and because we are all connected. And your story about the well reminded me of a wonderful story. Do you mind if I share it?
Oh, please do.
Mm-hmm. Okay, so I just did a blog post about this guy. In my book that's coming up, E-Cubed, I do a thing about animal communication or, you know, communicate with nature. Mm-hmm. So anyway, whenever I decide to write about something, I get all kinds of examples of why that's true, because I believe, you know, it's in a benevolent universe, and that what, you know, whatever I'm thinking about, again, will come into my life. So I was, you know, writing about animal communication, and so I'm flying mm-hmm. to Mexico City or somewhere, I don't remember where it was, but mm-hmm. I read this amazing story about this guy who'd been in Vietnam. He got his knee shattered. He came back, you know, 5 months early because his knee was shattered, and it was during that time, you know, in the 60s or 70s when nobody would even look a vet in the eye, you know. Everybody was anti-war and all that kind of stuff, so he was feeling very lonely and isolated and really was almost mm-hmm. suicidal. He did manage to get through college. He went to California, and he was working in a boatyard, just totally mm-hmm. despondent, you know, ready to give up on life. He ended up building himself a 30-foot boat, and he was going to sail around the world. So he sets off on this beautiful boat that he had built. Mm-hmm. He is going around, you know, it's about 8 days in, and he's just feeling so depressed. He's almost, you know, praying for a storm to come and just capsize his boat so it would all be over. Mm-hmm. But right about that time when he was feeling really awful, this giant whale emerged right beside him, swam with mm-hmm. him for 4 hours. That whale,
really?
With his big eye, looked him in the eye, and he said mm. he knew at that moment that life mm. was worth living and that he was going to come back among the living. And so what he's done now, and this is how I first heard about him, he mm-hmm. has made this carousel in Nederland, Colorado, and he, because he's a, you know, a carver, a wood guy, he made all these mm-hmm. beautiful animals for this carousel, and he calls it the Carousel of Happiness. So, you know, we're talking about happiness, so this kind of fits right in with our theme. But anyway, uh-huh. so he built this beautiful carousel where he carved all the animals. You know, there's a dolphin on there and a whale and all these different things, and people come there, you know, to get happy. But I love that story about here he was ready to end it all, and this whale comes up, looks him in the eye, and swims with him forever. He said, I knew at that moment I was not
nice.
Alone.
How
so anyway,
nice.
That's just more ammunition for anybody wanting to write and say, let's don't do this to the Navy. But you know what? More than writing those letters or thinking that, I really believe this thing about let's focus on the positive thought. Let's focus on the fact that these whales are beautiful creatures, that they offer so much to
right.
our lives. And let's
right.
focus on that. Like Mother Teresa always said, you know, I'm not going to be against anything. I'm only going to be for something. So
mm-hmm.
I think in our efforts, you know, and I do believe that all of us joined together can make a huge difference. So all of us on this radio
Absolutely.
Program, I think we literally can, you know, prevent this from happening. But I think the way we're going to do it, instead of being mad and angry, oh, let's, you know, how mm-hmm. dare the Navy do that, I mm-hmm. think we have to truly become the appreciation for what they, you know, the whales and the dolphins and everybody does for humanity, and just trust that that connection, that positive vibe will, you know, make the right decision happen. And, mm-hmm. you know, that, in fact, one of my very favorite quotes, and I often use this when I'm talking, it's from Buckminster Fuller, who's this great mentor of mine, and he said,
mm-hmm.
what is the most extraordinary thing we can think about in this most extraordinary moment? And what the most extraordinary thing we can think about is the fact that all of us together, all of us listening on this program, all of us, you know, here together on this program, would have the power to, you know, prevent the extermination of these whales and dolphins. So anyway, that's kind of a cool, extraordinary thing we can think about right now.
Sure. Well, I, for one, I'm certainly not against, you know, having a good defense for the country. But on the other hand, there must be certainly some way the scientists and their technicians and engineers can figure out a way not to slaughter 12 million whales and dolphins in their efforts to provide a good sonar system. For me, that's unacceptable, frankly.
Right, and I think it won't happen. I really do. I believe that, you know, we right here can change that from happening. So let's just hold that. Because I agree with you, they deserve to live. They're already under threat a little bit with all the nets. In fact, there's some really good movies out about, you know, the power of the whales. I'm trying to think what the names of some of those are. But yeah, no, I'm with you completely, and I'm excited that we can actually make that happen.
Well, I've always believed, Pam, that and to my friends around the world, that the light is stronger than the dark. That ultimately, we have a wonderful, bright, spiritual future ahead of us. Nostradamus talked about it himself. My next guest for the following hour, listeners, so please stay tuned, is John Hogue. And I plan to ask John about this during the next hour, that Nostradamus predicted that we would have 1,000 years of peace and prosperity and spiritual advancement starting in the 2030s to 2040s. So for our children's children, their children, they have a very, very bright future. Sure, we have some challenges now, but I don't look at that as being insurmountable, and I do think we're going to have a very bright and happy future ahead of us.
Right. It's a matter of what we want to focus on. No, that's so true. I'm so glad you told me that about Nostradamus. That's exciting.
Well, it's going to be interesting having Mr. Hogue on. And one of the things I wanted to ask you about, Pam, is I know in some of your publications you've listed positive things people can do from a spiritual sense to improve and enlighten themselves. Would you mind telling my many friends and listeners around the world about what they can do to perhaps keep on the positive side of life?
Well, to know that what they think is under their control. I mean, I think a lot of people believe that, you know, thoughts just come. Well, it is true. Thoughts just will go through your head, but we choose which ones we decide to build cities around. So, you know, we can choose to, you know, set up camp on a negative thought, because if you don't take the thoughts too seriously and just let them kind of go on through, they will go on through. But what happens is we pick up a negative thought, and we're so accustomed to thinking in negative thoughts that we, you know, like we find out we have this problem, and then we, you know, start blogging about it. We join support groups. We do everything we can to find out about our problem. And as long as we do that, we're only giving energy to that particular problem. So the best way to overcome that is to start giving our energy to gratitude, to things we're grateful for, even the tiniest little thing, like, hey, the sun came up this morning. I mean, I didn't have to do one little thing for that sun to come up this morning. That sun provides, you know, all kinds of energy for plants to grow that I'm able to eat. It plants provides energy for trees. So literally thinking about all the things we have to be grateful for. So here's the thing about our thoughts. They're super powerful. They have magnetic energy. They put out power. They draw things, you know, like they're like magnets. They bring things back to you. So if people can start thinking of things they're grateful for, it's just so powerful, instead of, you know, putting all their energy into all the things that are wrong. So as we put all our energy into everything that's going right, all the things we're grateful for, and sometimes maybe you can't even think of one thing, but if you really try, you can think, oh, wow, the abundance. Look at all the leaves on this tree. I mean, there are so many leaves on this tree. What an abundant world it is. You know, just little things like that. And sometimes it's a stretch, and when you first start thinking this way, because it's such a pattern, such a dominant paradigm, that, you know, to look for the problem, to be negative. But it literally radically changes your life when you start looking for blessings and miracles instead of focusing on what is going wrong. And for people that say, well, I have no control over my thoughts, I would definitely argue, and just like you wouldn't go into Macy's or go into a department store and pick out the ugliest outfit and then take it to the counter, why do we pick out the dirtiest, ugliest thoughts and choose to build our or cities around them. I'm just using that as a metaphor. You know, we pick a thought to glom onto, and then we start putting all this energy around it, and then we create that reality. We can just as easily pick a thought that's positive, you know, that beautiful outfit at Macy's, or, you know, the thought that, wow, the world could be wonderful. We can change everything. Those wells can go on living, and we can build a city around that. So we get to choose. Or, like, you wouldn't go into a restaurant and order the worst thing on the menu, yet in our thoughts, we pick the worst things, and we sit and look at them like, you know, like the trash can out at the garbage dump or whatever. You know, we just keep looking at it, instead of, hey, it's out there, it's ready to be taken away. Just let it go.
Sure, absolutely. I couldn't agree with you more, Pam. For those who are just tuning in, you're listening to Out of This World Radio International with your host, Ted Marr, broadcasting from the studios of KKNW in Bellevue, Washington, on 1150 AM. The program focuses on Out of This World information and predictions for the coming years in Seattle, the United States, and beyond. Today, we have a wonderful guest on named Pam Grout. She's written many books about being positive and the benefits of being positive. Anyway, for those who'd like to call in, our phone number is, it's area code 425-373-5527, or toll-free within Western Washington at 1-888-298-5569. Pam, I hope you don't mind me giving you this example, but many years ago, I read some books about the concentration camps in Nazi Germany during World War II. And for the people who survived, they always learn to look on the incredible as it may seem, to on the bright side of life, and to be grateful for what they had, even if they had just a piece of grass growing in the camp. They survived, but the people who were depressed and down often wouldn't survive. So I think an attitude is very, very important.
Yeah, no, that's really true. Did you read Viktor Frankl's book, The Search for Meaning?
No, I didn't. No.
Okay, that was kind of a classic. He was someone who was in the concentration camps, and he said, you know, that's the one thing that they cannot take from us. You know, he lost his wife. He lost almost every member of his family, his children, everything. He said, but the one thing they cannot take from me in this concentration camp is the way I think and is my attitude. So He wrote this book called Search for Meaning. It was really a fabulous book. But anyway, so I just wonder if that was the book you were talking about.
I think that was the book, yeah. I mean, I heard about it, and I think that was the book, actually, that I'd read. It's been a while.
Since I've read it, too, but I love it. I mean, I've never forgotten that book.
Oh, fantastic. Fantastic. Well, Pam, could you give my many listeners your website and a way to get some of your books? Maybe we could talk a little bit about your books that you've written.
Oh, yeah. Well, my website is just pamgrout.com.
Okay.
It's easy to access, and I've got a thing where people can subscribe. I write some of these positive blog posts. And so they can subscribe to that, or they can find me on Facebook, you know, Pam Grout Facebook, or however that works. I'm also Twitter at Pam Grout. So I'm pretty easy to find. And as far as my books, so I just finished my 17th book, and my books are pretty easy. They're all over Amazon or pretty much any bookstore. So, you know, just find them. I should probably say I've 17 books. Half of them are travel books. I'm also a travel writer, and I've done 3 books for National Geographic. I've done some books about quirky things in Kansas and Colorado, and then about half of my books are inspirational books. You know, this kind of thing. You know, positive thinking. Mm-hmm. You know, being more creative, that kind of thing. So I'm kind of half and half. Half are travel books, and then half of them are the inspirational, positive thinking kind of books.
Okay, wonderful. Well, let's say you're listening to this program now, and you're in Seattle, Chicago, or London, or Berlin, or Tokyo, and you want to buy one of your books for inspiration. Which of your books would you recommend? I mean, probably recommend all of them, but which ones would you recommend, like your first, second, third choice?
Well, right now, the book E-Squared, 9 Do-It-Yourself Energy Experiments That Prove Your Thoughts Create Your Reality, that one was on the New York Times list for 20 weeks last year, and it's being translated into 32 different languages. So, in fact, the other day I was flying back from Kenya. I'm in the Nairobi airport, and this girl I was traveling with says, hey, there's your book. I mean, in the Nairobi airport, there's E-Squared. So, I had just got the edition from Moldova. So the point is that one's very available no matter where you are in the world. You know, it's been Japanese, Chinese, I mean, everywhere it's been translated. So, and it's some of those translations are just now coming out because, I mean, it was out in English last year. It came out January 2013. And then it, you know, became this huge sensation. So that's the one that would probably be the easiest to get. But Living Big is also a book about, you know, positive thinking. I've got a book called Art and Soul about creativity and spirituality. So those would probably be the top three, I suppose, for people. But right now, you know, the E-Squared and my book E-Cubed, which is the follow-up book to E-Squared, comes out in September. So that also has nine experiments. The one, I guess the reason people have liked this book so much is it actually gives experiments that you can do to see if this positive thinking stuff really works. Because, again, we've had this theory, we've heard about this forever, but unless you find a way to actually apply it and use it in your life, it's, you know, it's really pointless. Yeah, you can know everything, but until you can actually use it, you know, it just doesn't do you a whole lot of good. So this book, I mean, it has little experiments, literal experiments. I mean, literally we have lab report sheets, the whole bit where you, you know, write down a hypothesis, you do all this stuff and see, does this work? Does this not work? You know, I'm not trying to convince anybody to believe this on faith, which is, you know, one of the things a lot of religions have done. This is about, you know, looking and seeing if it works, you know, with your own two eyes. So it's, I think that's been a lot of fun for people. And that's another big theme that I really emphasize is to make this stuff fun. Because again, I think a lot of people, this big energy force we're all tied to has been, you know, associated with the word God, and that has a lot of baggage. And I love the word God, and I'm a big believer in that. But for some people, there's a lot of baggage that goes with it, and there's been a lot of negativity, and you got to do this and follow these rules. So this is a way of realizing that this force is only good. It has nothing but our positive welfare. You know, that's all it cares about is our positive welfare. And it's just a way for people to realize that. Because, again, if you're out looking for and expecting, you know, the world to be scary and awful and whatever, then you can certainly create that. You can certainly see that. But you can also see this other way that is just mind-blowingly beautiful.
Nice. I was just going to say, Taylor, do we have a caller?
Nope, not yet.
Okay. All right. Thanks. I thought so. We did. Pam, I was wondering, one of the experiments you listed, could you tell us maybe one of the interesting experiments in your book that people could try?
Well, there's nine of them. But I'll tell you one that I've got stories and stories and stories. The thing that's been so much fun about this book is that people write to me and tell me about the results of the experiment. But the first experiment and the kind of the easiest one just to tell readers on a, or listeners on a radio show would be the Dude Abides. And I don't know that if you saw the movie The Big Lebowski, it's kind of a takeoff on that. Because I like to make things fun. All my writing is, you know, in kind of a humorous way, and it just makes it more sustainable if it's kind of fun to read. But anyway, so the dude, or this energy force, or God, or whatever you want to call it, does it exist? Does it not exist? So that's the big question. That's the hypothesis. My hypothesis is that it does exist, and that it only wants to bless and bestow goodness upon us. That is my hypothesis. So I ask readers to give this force, whatever you want to call it, the dude, quantum Fred, you know, God, whatever you want to call it, to give it 48 hours to give you a blessing, a sign that you cannot mistake. So that is the first one that people are, you know, asked to do. And it's really not so much about, you know, putting God on the spot or the force or the dude or whatever on the spot. It's about jarring us into paying attention. The truth is there are blessings and miracles happening around us all the time, but all we see is what we expect to see. The world that we see, you know, the material world that we see, it forms around our beliefs and expectations. So if we can just for, you know, 48 hours kind of open up our beliefs and expectations to this other idea, then it's amazing what we can let in. So that's kind of the idea behind the first one. Again, it's called The Dude Abides. And I mean, that's the funny name for it, but it's, but the actual theory is that there is an invisible energy force that I can access and has my best interest at heart. I mean, that's kind of what it says. So it's a way to test that to see if that is indeed true.
Wonderful. So if you're walking here in Bellevue, Washington, and you visualize seeing gold coins on the sidewalk tomorrow, it could happen.
Right. In fact, that's kind of the second experiment, which is the Volkswagen Jetta experiment. Experiment. That is the idea that, you know how if you want to buy a new car and you think, oh, I'm going to be the only one in town to drive this particular car, and then suddenly it's in your awareness and you start seeing that car everywhere, That's kind of the principle behind that. So whatever we see in our life is whatever we're looking for. And so in that experiment, I asked people, you know, you mentioned a coin. I asked people to look for something simple like a feather, for example, or, you know, a particular color of car. Some people, one group of women decided to look for boats and priests. And, of course, they both found boats and priests. So whatever you're looking for, and that, again, is another little 48-hour experiment where you actually look for some little simple thing and you realize, wow, it's all over the place, but you hadn't noticed it before because you were too busy looking for other things. And that's what we find out about miracles and blessings, same exact thing. Once you start looking for those, you'll see them everywhere.
How amazing. What often happens to me is that I get pennies from heaven, and I'll be driving somewhere, for example, and I'll stop, like at a rest stop, I'll come back to my car, and there's a penny that wasn't there before. And it's a spiritual way for my guardian angels to let me know they're here with me and I'm on track. So that's happened many, many times. I have a whole pile of pennies that I've collected.
Oh, I just found a penny today. I'm so happy you told me that. And here's a story that was sent to me yesterday. In fact, again, one of the experiments in the new book is a pennies kind of thing where, again, from the quantum field, any penny represents money. It could represent angels. I mean, you know, whatever you want it to represent.
Sure.
But if you get so excited every time you find a penny, it's like, oh, wow, the universe said, or you said to the universe, I'm willing to accept your riches. So you get really excited about it. So this one guy was doing that. You know, he was out looking for pennies, finding them everywhere. And all of a sudden, he got this unexpected check for $10,642. And then that was because he was doing this penny thing. You know, he was looking for pennies. He was celebrating every time he found a penny. And so anyway,
fantastic.
It was pretty exciting. So I love the penny experiment. And like I said, I've got that in my new book. It's something I learned from Greg Kuhn, who does a lot of work with quantum physics and, you know, kind of how what they call the law of attraction, how it works, you know, in the quantum world, which, again, is, you know, a topic I like to write about, too.
Fantastic. Pam, I always like to ask my guests, how did you ever get started as a writer, and what things happened in your life to form your positive viewpoint on life?
Well, I think I was probably born a writer. I was a person who loved to read. When I was in second grade, I won some award for reading 239 books or something like that. And I think anybody who reads a lot is eventually going to think, oh, I could do that. So when I was in second grade, I started writing these little stories and illustrating them, like Patty the Penguin, Blackie the Bear, you know, like a typical second grader type books. And so I've been a writer really since second grade, really since about as far as I could read. I just love that I'm able to do that. And I feel like every single human being has so much to express. And I believe that, you know, we tend not to express it oftentimes, but I think that's what causes a lot of the problems in our world. You know, it's this unresolved, unexpressed joy and whatever that, you know, we can do through writing, through painting, through, you know, some kind of creative outlet. And I guess I was just lucky that, you know, I was able to pursue this art, you know, of writing, and I've been doing it since I was in second grade. So I kind of fell into it. I believe that once you let go of this real commitment to problems, that the universe will work everything out for you. You know, I think we're always trying to figure everything out and, you know, make it all work, or trying to fit a, you know, a square peg in a round hole or something like that. But once you sort of surrender and start believing in the fact this force wants goodness, then all these things will magically unfold. And I would say that's probably what happened to me with my writing. And I was just childlike, innocent enough to believe that I could do this, because everybody said, oh, you can't be a writer. You know, that's impossible. But I, you know, was just silly enough to think, well, yes, I can.
Well, when you later in life, when you went to high school and probably college, you probably found writing classes and literature probably opened up a whole new world for you, didn't it?
Well, yeah, but they always had. But certainly, and I mean, again, I got praised by an English teacher, my writing teacher in high school, which is another thing, that giving compliments to people. I mean, it's amazing how we can affect each other just by being kind to somebody, just by smiling at somebody can totally change your day. And because this English teacher, I mean, I was already heading in that direction, but this English teacher said, wow, you're a really good writer. And, you know, hearing that, it was like, I don't know, you know, food for my soul or something. Like, wow, somebody thought I was a good writer. And, it was just a simple teacher in a small town in Kansas. But because she told me she liked my writing, it, you know, fed that belief that I had that I could be a writer. And then, you know, I went on to study journalism. And it's kind of funny because I have worked as a journalist, but I've just kind of gotten over that because, in fact, my joke was I'm a member of the world's largest terrorist organization. And by that, I meant the media. You know, the media is always spreading all the bad news or whatever.
Oh, no.
But no more. No more for me. I don't want to spread bad news.
How funny. I have to tell you, I had Daniel Brinkley on my show, a psychic, a couple weeks ago, and he was also on a few months ago. And one of the most interesting things he said is that, well, he's had, I think, two or three near-death experiences where he's gone to the other side, to heaven, and come back, talk to his angels. And they told him the most important thing, it's the small things that count in life. The smile you give someone, the compliment you give perhaps a waitress or a waiter at a restaurant, the little things in life, the politeness you exhibit to people on the phone or when you meet. Those things are sometimes far more important than what you perceive as the bigger things in life, because that's all life is. It's a series of little events happening during the day. And if you do that, then it always comes back to you tenfold, and it's always nice. For example, if you're in a city and you see somebody homeless, I always try to give people a couple bucks, you know, even when I'm broke, because I know that it'll help, you know, and that'll help them out. And I don't do it for, you know, expecting anything in return, but it also helps make the planet a better place.
But you know what? Not only does it make the world a better place, but doesn't it make you feel good? Being nice just makes us feel good. Being positive makes us feel good. I mean, we do it for other people, but we really do it as much for ourselves. Again, because I believe we are all one, and so anything we do for someone else, we really do for ourselves. Just the same as if we're, you know, negative towards ourselves, we're also, you know, harming the world by being negative towards ourselves. So it really is important to, you know, be giving and loving, and those little compliments can, you know, make all the difference in the world, and, you know, the dollar that you gave. So it helped him, it helped you, so that just, like, makes it all grow exponentially. So, you know, I can't encourage people enough to get out there and, you know, look for ways they can not only recognize the world's largest, but to also share the world's largest with their brothers and sisters.
One of the things earlier in life, I lived for almost 2.5 years in India.
Oh,
and
cool.
I was there on a series of Fulbright grants where I studied Indian law. And one of the, you know, country is an interesting country. They've got all these religions and very, very interesting and old culture, spiritually developed. But one of the things that I realized there was that we were all God's children, irregardless of our religious beliefs, race, creed, or whatever. We're all part of this humanity. And what that triggered that is that what you just said now, that we are all one. And I couldn't agree with you more. We are all spiritual beings, and we are all sparks of the supreme being.
And isn't that exciting?
Absolutely. Pam, what kind of plans do you have for the future in terms of writing and your travels, and love to hear your thoughts on that. Maybe perhaps what you see for the U.S. too.
Oh, what I see for the U.S.?
Yeah.
Oh, I don't know what I see for the U.S., but I do, because I'm not necessarily, I wouldn't call myself psychic. I'm pretty much more into, you know, living this moment only and seeing all the joy and the blessings right here in this moment. But I do see, you know, really good things happening for our country, for the world. And, I mean, I couldn't agree more with Nostradamus that we are going to, you know, reach this peaceful era. And I think in some ways the things that we might perceive now as problems are really kind of like the last vestiges being pushed out, you know, but so we can be ready for this time of great peace and great expansion and joy and creativity, because that is coming. And, you know, as long as we don't put too much energy into the problems, you know, that of course will very easily take place. But as for me, I'm going to continue to do my travel writing. I love, you know, being able to travel around the world. I'm also starting to speak quite a bit about these topics that I wrote about in E Squared, which is kind of fun. I've always been a traveler, but now I'm being invited to come speak. Like, for example, I'm going to Australia in, I believe it's September, to do a writing workshop. I just got back from Mexico City and New York City, where I gave, you know, workshops on the principles from E Squared. I'm heading to Finland coming up. I'm going to Holland and England again. So I'm going to Switzerland, I believe it is. So anyway, I'm going to be traveling, not just to do travel articles, but also to, you know, speak about the kind of things I like to write about. And that's a whole new thing for me because I've always written and expressed myself that way. I have not done as much speaking. So I'm launching what I heard Susan Cain say once. It's my year of speaking dangerously. So I'm out speaking quite a bit. And again, like I said, my follow-up book, E Squared, comes out September 16th. It's called E Cubed, which I think is funny. My publisher liked that title, and it just cracked me up. So I was like, oh, I love E Cubed, you know, because we're going to take it to the next dimension. So anyway, it's nine more experiments, and I think people are going to love it as much as they liked E Squared. And so that's exciting. And then, just keep living in the moment and, you know, seeing what the universe opens up for me.
Well, I have to tell you that during the past year, I've had some wonderful psychics and astrologists on, including Dr. Louis Thury, one of the best psychics in France, Susan Miller, one of the best astrologists in New York City, and Daniel Brinkley, another excellent psychic. And they've all said the same thing, basically, that this year is a year of truth, from now all the way through the end of the year until the end of December. And so people who it's a time for people to see one's truth, and being spiritually positive, you know, I think is a wonderful way to do that. And I think that's the universe is calling upon you, Pam, to continue your good work and to continue to raise the humanity on this planet in a very powerful and uplifting spiritual way.
Yeah, well, I do feel like I'm on purpose. You know, I have four main goals, and one of them is peace of mind, but one of them is surety of purpose. So I do want to believe that I'm, you know, on purpose. I'm doing what I was meant to do. And then my other two goals, just for your information, are clear, unmistakable guidance. So even though I say I'm not psychic, I do ask for guidance for my own life, you know, and hope to see signs and expect to, you know, signs and guidance coming to me very clearly. And then my last intention, and this one always blows people away, is unceasing joy. And most people will go, unceasing joy? How is that possible? I mean, it's a radical notion, but it does say in the Course in Miracles, which is my, you know, main spiritual study, is that that is God's will for me, is perfect happiness, you know, unceasing joy. So those are the four things that I'm all about. So I do feel that I'm on purpose in spreading this message of positivity and the fact that we can all be joyful. So I feel like it's mine to do. So I'm happily doing it.
I think if you did a public opinion survey of the world's people, that everybody would say the same thing, that they want to be happy in their lives.
Oh, yeah.
You know, ultimately.
Yeah.
And I don't think people choose. Well, I don't know if it's correct to say they choose to be unhappy. But I think if given a choice between being happy or unhappy, most people would certainly, if not 100%, would choose being happy.
Oh, everyone would say that. Like, say if there was two little boxes, and do you want to be happy, do you want to be unhappy? Most everybody, I think, would choose happy. However, they don't realize that these thinking patterns that they've fallen into, these ruts they've fallen into, and our cultural paradigms all set up about what's wrong. Instead of, like, I'm in a couple groups, and we get together, and this is the question we ask. What is going right? It totally revolutionizes your life. What is going right, not what's wrong. So anyway, it's a powerful little tweak. I've got a section in my new book called Tweak and Ye Shall Find. So I think it's really important to start looking, you know, for what's going right, and, you know, it makes all the difference in the world.
Well, you know, I'm so enjoying talking to you, Pam, and I know my listeners are really enjoying listening to your positivity. It's such a nice change. I don't know what it is about the major media, like some of the major news channels, but there's so much negativity, and it's like fear sells, you know? I think it's unfortunate, especially when there's such a bright future ahead of us.
Oh, that's right. Yeah, no, for sure. The media does do a lot of that, and I'm doing my part to try to change it. I've quit that terrorist organization that I was a member of.
Well, you've had an amazing career. Some of the publications you've written on are Travel and Leisure, Outside Family Circle, Modern Maturity, New Age Journal, Scientific American, Arizona Highways, Travel Holiday, Tennis, Powder, Snow Country, The Washington Post, The Detroit Free Press, First for Women, Amtrak Express. I mean, all these publications must kind of find you like a breath of fresh air in your writing versus their other stories.
Yeah. The magazines I write for the most now, I write a lot of stuff for People magazine, and I write the hero stories, you know, the good guy stories. You know, I'm from the Midwest, so I do a lot of stories from the Midwest. But again, about, you know, heroes, people, angels, people doing really good things. So, see, there I get to write about positive things. I also write a lot for CNN and CNN Travel. And again, travel is a positive thing. You know, you open your mind, you open your eyes to realize that half the stuff we hear about in the news, particularly in foreign places, is so not true. So, you know, travel is a good way to open people's minds and to be positive, too. So most of the writing I do, because I still write for a lot of these publications, but I write the positive stuff. I don't go out looking for the crime stories or or whatever. I mean, that's kind of disappeared from my life, those kind of things.
Sure. Well, we've got about 5 minutes left in the program, and I'd love for you, if you wouldn't mind, sharing maybe a story or two about some of the heroes you've written about in People magazine.
Well, the most recent one I wrote about was earlier this year, was about was he 17 or 16? There was a kid who actually used a 3D printer. I'm not sure if you know what those are, but they make things literally 3D, and he made an arm for a kid, you know, who had lost his arm. He was born, well, he didn't lose it. He was born with only one arm. So this 17-year-old kid, what had happened to him, and this is how we turn adversity into positive things, he had gotten his third concussion playing, you know, high school football, and the doctor said, hey, look, this choice is up to you, but I really think you might want to, you know, quit football. And here, this kid, you know, that's what he wanted to do, was be a football player, you know, play in college. But so he decided to go ahead and not do that. He also had kind of an engineering mind. He liked, you know, technology. And so he heard about this 3D printer, and he knew this kid in the neighborhood. This little kid was probably, I can't remember how old he was, 10 or 12. But anyway, so he designed and made a fake arm, or, you know, a prosthetic for this little kid. And so that was a cool story. And this is just a kid in a small town in Kansas. And so that was my most recent story for People magazine that, you know, was a positive story. I also did a story last year for them about Miss Kansas, you know, the Miss America pageant. So Miss Kansas here, she was the first Miss America a contestant that actually showed her tattoo, because, you know, some of them have them, but they put all the makeup on it, but she proudly bore her tattoo. So that was kind of a positive story as well. So those were some of the last two recent ones that I did for People magazine.
Oh, how neat. How neat. Well, I think we can all make a change in the world in our own small way, and sometimes a big way, too, if we just keep at it and keep to the positive. We've got a couple minutes, Pam. I'd just like to give you the floor to wrap up the program, if you could.
Oh, wow, giving me the floor, that's kind of dangerous. Well, ask me a question. I'm happy to comment on anything.
Okay. Well, if people are having a tough time in life now, let's say they're having a tough time in their job or a tough time in a relationship, what kind of advice would you give them to look on the positive side of things to help them out?
Well, you know, in the Bible, Jesus said, turn the other cheek. And by that, it means look the other direction. Look in the direction of what's positive. You know, you continue to focus on the hard time you're having in your job and whatever it might be. But as long as you continue to focus on what's going wrong, you're only going to generate more energy in that direction. So by turning towards the positive, turning towards the light, turning towards what is going right. So anybody that feels like they're having a hard time, it's so difficult to let go of that belief that everything's bad and that you're having a problem. But in any little way, if you can look at things to be grateful for, just the tiniest little thing, and just focus more and more, start turning that needle towards the positive thing, and the results will be pretty amazing.
Well, that's really good advice. And Pam's website, again, is www.pamgrout.com. And you can also find Pam's website by going through the website for my radio program at www.outofthisworld1150.com. And just scrolling down to Pam's name at the bottom of the first page, and you can find her. Pam, what are your plans for the rest of the summer?
Well, one of the things I'm excited about, I'm going on a cruise. Have you heard of that show, America's Top Chef? They're doing a cruise from New York down to Bermuda, and so I'm going and writing a story about that. So that's coming up at the end of this month, or the end of actually July. I'm also going to speak at the Omega Institute in August, so that's pretty exciting. And I'm also going to Wilmington, North Carolina to speak there. So that's kind of what I've got for the rest of the summer. And, you know, just doing lots of writing and just having a good time.
Wonderful, wonderful. Well, Pam, I want to thank you so much for coming on the show. And I'm sure that I know my listeners and myself, we all really enjoyed your message of being positive for a better life. And once again, you're having your new book coming out in September. And then if you're and for those interested in getting a copy of your wonderful books, just go to www.pamgrout.com. Got a couple of seconds left, Pam. I want you to say goodbye to everyone, and then we'll be on in a few minutes with John Hope.
Oh, well, let's see. Goodbye, everyone. How's that? I wish I could say it in all the different languages, but my language skills are yet to be developed. So anyway, goodbye, everybody. Thanks for listening.
All right, Pam. You have a wonderful day, and thank you so much for coming on the program.
Okay, you too.
All right, thanks. Bye-bye. Bye-bye.
I know you deceived me, now here's a surprise. I know that you have, cause there's magic in my eyes. I can see 4 miles and